The following program is a paid program, and the views expressed are not necessarily those of 920 WGKA or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Good evening, everyone, all across the United States of America, and welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist for Concealed Carry Magazine, the official publication of the USCCA. We're broadcasting live tonight from the Atlanta, Georgia studios of Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. Our board operator and producer is Mr. Eugene Bright, and the number, should you wish to participate in this evening's show, are 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665. Or you can reach us on a local number at 770-226-0920. Again, 770-226-0920. Write those down. I'll give them to you later on in the show as well. Your participation is always welcome, and although we have only 1 hour, I'll do everything I can to put you on the air. The show is for you, so feel free to participate. Call us and join the program. We are, oh, hey, before I get started tonight, and this has absolutely nothing to do with guns, but it's just a pet peeve I have. If you're a retail cashier, you know, drugstore, especially a grocery store clerk, you guys are notorious for this stuff, will you please stop putting my receipt on top of the money you give back to me and setting the coins on top of all of it to boot, okay? It forces me to have to set everything down, remove the receipt, put the coins in my pocket, toss the receipt, put the money in my wallet. Please, please, I beg you, put the receipt in the bag for crying out loud and quit mixing it up with my change. I hate that. Yeah, there you go, Gene. That's exactly right. About what they sound like, too. All right, I feel better. I had to cleanse that from my attitude. Tonight's guests include two incredible men who were the subject of two of my columns last year in Concealed Carry Magazine, the Ordinary Guy column. Mr. Jim Butler will be joining me. His wife and he were the subject of my November and December 2008 Ordinary Guy column. On a cold February night, it all came to an end. And Mr. Marco Rick Aldone, who was the subject of my August-September 2008 column entitled A Cold Day in Hell. Tonight's show will captivate you, it'll disturb you, and it will frighten you. But it will also awaken you, folks. Tonight's show will reinforce the decisions that you have made to be a gun owner, and it will hopefully enlighten you to carry your loaded weapon of choice. I love this. Let me repeat this. It'll enlighten you to carry your loaded weapon of choice in a hidden manner while going about your daily business. The anti-gunners hate that, and I'm glad they gave it to me. I love it. Tonight's show will also reinforce the importance of training, preparation, and the combat mindset. It'll remind you that if you're unable to shoot at another human being and witness the extreme violence that your gun can and will cause when fired into human flesh, then you may want to choose a less lethal form of self-protection. Maybe a taser. Think about that, folks, because it is violent and it is brutal, and you will hear two incredible stories tonight. I'm going to bet you, though, that after hearing the stories this evening from both of my guests, that you'll be even more inclined to train and prepare for the worst in the highly unlikely event that something you are about to hear tonight should happen to you. Highly unlikely, but that's what they thought. Neither of these men ever thought they would be in the situation they found themselves, and like you, thought it only happens to somebody else. But they prepared and are alive to tell us their incredible stories of bravery and courage under incredible stress. You'll hear firsthand accounts of what you read about in the papers and train for every time you hit that range from two very brave men who lived your worst nightmare. Meanwhile, in anti-gunner pacifist land, they don't have nightmares, you see. They dream of eating endless supplies of cotton candy while floating around in balloons, looking down on a world filled with peace, where everybody drives a hybrid and all the people of the world are holding hands and skipping down some yellow brick road somewhere, marching behind the flute player and Chief Obama, the Pied Piper of D.C., where evil only exists in the minds, the twisted minds of authors. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Evil does exist here on Earth, and sometimes we as real people who live in the real world come face to face with it. I did. I pulled my gun on two men who wanted to take my car one day, 2 weeks after my daughter was born in 2002. And thank God I had that Glock 36 inside my waistband, and thank God I never had to fire a shot. But you know what? I went home that day. I lived because I had a gun. And until our elitist friend Cynthia Tucker down the road here at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or Dianne Feinstein, or Chuck Schumer, or pick one, it doesn't matter, maybe the commander-in-chief of the teleprompter, oh blah blah blah, or anybody else who wants to get in my face about my right to carry a gun for self-defense, until they live in the real world, and something like what happened to me and both of my guests, or even worse, what happened to both of my guests tonight, until that happens to them, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. until these people want to start recognizing violent criminals as the purveyors of violent crime and stop laying gun violence, quote-unquote, gun violence, at the feet of law-abiding citizens, until Paul Helmke of the Brady Campaign to Lie About Guns can stop referring to law-abiding citizens with carry permits as, quote, dangerous people, when he's referring to national park carry. Until then, it is incumbent upon all of us to keep up this fight for our freedoms. Don't tread on me, folks. Don't do it. Cynthia Tucker, by the way, is welcome on this program anytime she sees fit to mosey on in this studio and have a conversation with me about my right to stick the business end of my gun into the face of the two crackhead wastes of breathable air that wanted me in my car. She's welcome to come down here and discuss that with me anytime she sees fit. How much you want to bet she won't? But the invitation's open, Cynthia, if you're listening. I'd also love to hear her or the Bradys talk to my guest this evening. And Marco Ricaldone, in fact, joins me live tonight to tell his story of survival in the face of evil. Marco, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, Mark. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the air with us. Marco, you know, your story is so frightening. And I wrote this story, back last year, last summer of last year, I guess, is when we first talked. Is that right?
That's pretty much right.
Your story was frightening. I had to rewrite it a couple times, and as you remember, you and I went through the rewrite to make sure that it happened and that it was written exactly as it happened to you. So I want the listeners to hear from you from the beginning. Can you start from the beginning for us? And Marco, tell us a little bit about yourself. How old were you at the time this happened? And let's go from there.
All right, well, basically, like I had told you earlier, I was 20 years old, and I used to go to this car show meet. It was basically like a Volkswagen type hangout with some friends, some acquaintances. And I got introduced to some people. I met a guy. He had the same interest as me. And we started going out, hanging out, drinking. We're friends with his girlfriend, my girlfriend. And eventually, one day, they had broken up, and I had broken up with my girlfriend. And me and this girl started talking. They actually were married, in fact, and they got separated, and it didn't really bother me. I didn't think too much of it, but I started talking to her. And around that time is when she started getting a bunch of text messages, like, probably about 100 a day, to tell you the truth. And after a little while, I started getting a bunch of text messages and the such of, like, leave her alone or I'll kill you. You know, it'll be a cold day in hell before the two of you are together. You know, things like that.
And now, were these messages coming in, Marco, to her phone and your phone, my friend, or were they just coming? They were coming into both phones.
Right. First, it was hers and then mine. So I started getting these messages, and I started thinking, man, you know, maybe this guy is a little bit more serious than I thought. I blew it off. Like, you know, this stuff doesn't happen to me. You know, it's just, you see it on TV. You know, nothing's going to happen to me. I knew he had guns. He had I think it was about maybe a dozen guns, some rifles. He was a gun collector. He was into guns. And at that time, I really wasn't. Tell you the truth, I had owned an SKS before, but I never was really into guns. I had wanted to purchase a pistol to do some target shooting for self-defense, but I just never really got around to it. I never thought of it as it was a necessity at that time.
Okay, well, tell the listeners this. How much time went by from the time that you started seeing this woman, this young woman, and just for nuts and bolts here, how old was he and how old was she?
He was the same age, 28 years old. She was the same age, also 28 years old.
Okay.
And we're all about the same age.
How much time went by from the time you started seeing her until the time you purchased a gun and started getting a little bit concerned here?
Well, the main thing that I really got concerned about was, like, I had found out he had lost his job. He wasn't going to work. He had lost his job, which really made me start thinking, like, you know, maybe this guy's on a one-way path. So about that time, he had gone out of state to see some family in Georgia. And I took it upon myself to buy myself a Christmas present. This was in December. So I went down to Bass Pro, got myself a Springfield XD9 while he was gone, thinking that if he did come back, you know, a few weeks later, at least I'd be ready to keep up to, you know, I knew he had a Glock and he had some rifles, at least, you know, make a fair fight if he did come that day
now,
or one day.
You were obviously concerned enough about this gentleman to go out and make that purchase, which is a great thing because that
right.
is the beginning of your preparation. Tell
right.
the listeners, that now you were not a gun owner prior to this. You did not own a handgun prior to this. That's important.
Correct. I had none in my possession.
What level of training did you start giving yourself in this short period of time here?
Well, I picked out a gun up right before Christmas. I took it to the range one time, shot a box of rounds, probably about 50 to 100 rounds. Never cleaned it when I bought it. Didn't know the least thing about guns. Didn't know how to clean the grease. shot it, didn't clean it after that either. Put it away. He had come back from out of town, and when I found out he came back, I decided to load one of the magazines up with 9mm, which it was actually 9. And I didn't bother to load up the second one because I really didn't think too much of anything was going to happen. But if it was, at least I had something.
Now, Marco, you during this time, how much time elapsed from the time you had seen him last? What are we talking about, 2 or 3 months here, I think, went by?
From the time I seen him last to the time he came, I would say it's been a month.
About a month, okay.
I mean, everything boiled up so quick.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
But, I had the only training I had was about 30 or 40 minutes of shooting at the range at one time. First time I ever shot a pistol. And that's it.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we've got, about 30 seconds here, Gene? All right, so we'll go ahead and I'll just ask you a quick question here.
Sure.
After that 30-day period went by, you've gotten a little bit of practice on the range. Mm-hmm. You were out to dinner with her one night, am I correct?
A few nights, yeah. And within the text messages, sometimes he would text, "Oh, I know where you are," and he'd actually, say where we were, which was kind of scary.
So he knew. He was obviously, he was a professional stalker at that point.
Yep.
I don't want to name names. I'll tell the listeners why in just a little bit.
Right.
And I don't want to tell anybody where you were. They can read the column if they're interested. You had gone out on one particular evening, I believe, to, was it a movie and a dinner or just a dinner?
It was both. It was actually a movie theater. And he said, "I know where you're at." And he named it. And he says, "I'm outside." And this was before I even had any type of defense. So I was thinking that maybe this guy was outside waiting for us. It could have been. But, luckily when we did go outside, he wasn't there at that time. I think he was looking through her debit card purchases.
Right.
Or maybe looking them up online as they were happening.
Okay, so he was checking up on you. Marco, we're going to go into a quick break real quick. Everybody stick with us. You're going to want to hear the rest of what happened here. We'll be right back with Marco in just a minute.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-410-2703. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-410-2703. That's 1-800-410-2703. 1-800-410-2703.
When your allergies hit back with new Claritin Liquid Gels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquid Gels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquid Gels and live Claritin Clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquid Gels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
Atlanta talk that swings harder. 920 AM WGKA.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I just leaned forward and punched him in the forehead with my gun, she said. The man screamed like a girl and almost dropped his gun as he ran away, she added. Folks, that was a woman in Tampa, Florida on May 15th who only wanted to be identified as the name Adriana, as she pulled out her own weapon in the face of a carjacking when she was approached by an armed man who jumped into her car on Thursday. The gentleman has been arrested. God bless her. God bless her, and thanks for being armed and taking care of her own safety. We're back on live from Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA with Marco. Marco, let's go to the night in question. What happened? Well, it's not in question. Let's go to the night that the nightmare began for you. Walk us through it from where you were and tell us about the evening and what happened.
All right. Well, basically, me and my new girlfriend were just watching some TV, a DVD. After it finished about midnight, we said, you know, let's go to sleep. So we went to sleep. I put the pistol on the nightstand next to me like I did the last few days, loaded, ready to go, just in case. And about maybe 2, 3 a.m., just heard a loud explosion, jumped out of bed, heard some glass breaking, and immediately I thought, you know, this might be that guy. Something's happening in the living room. I got to run out there. I got to grab my gun. I got to protect her and defend myself. So all I did, I grabbed my gun, went to the hallway, and from the hallway, my vantage point, I could see someone outside on the balcony breaking through the glass. And I realized, wow, you know, this is real. This is happening. But
now let's clarify for just a second for the listeners. The right. glass that you're talking about was a large picture window leading into your living room, which gave him full access to your home.
Correct. I mean, it was just one large step over the window onto the couch, and he was inside.
Okay.
So, I mean, as he's breaking the glass out, I realized, you know, he's still outside. Let me try to scare him off. I mean, it just happened. So I fired a warning shot, basically, into a wall that was between the window and the door, thinking this guy was going to run off. Instead, he returns fire through the window, and I take cover back into the hallway. I jump back. I said, oh, man, you know. He's shooting back at me at this time.
Now, after that happened, let's jump ahead for just a second. I want the listeners to know that shot missed your head and went through the wall behind you by how far?
3 inches at most.
About 3 inches.
I did not even realize this until later that day after the police interview, after all this stuff, that it was that close. I mean, I had no idea.
Okay, so now he's returning fire, and he's doing what? He's coming into your home through that window, and I remember you telling me, and in fact, I'll quote you from my column. Right. He just busted in the window like a rampaging madman. It was like a charging bull. Tell us about that.
Well, as I get my footing again, I look out the hallway, and here's an individual, just a black. I mean, this is pitch black. Just a figure running towards in through my living room, firing at me. And at the same time, I got my gun, which I think is trained on him, just in the general area because I cannot see anything. I start firing as fast as possible. I see from the muzzle flash, basically, where he is with every shot. So I'm trying to follow him as he's running through my living room at me. But nothing's stopping him. It's just like as if I wasn't even shooting him. It was just he kept running forward. And I'm thinking, you know, this isn't happening. Either I'm missing, he has something on him, I mean, to block the bullets, but he's not going down. I mean, I fire almost the whole magazine at him as he's running towards me, and he's still coming. To the point that I had to retreat back into the bedroom and wait for him to continue coming in. And at that point, I had like maybe at least one round because the gun wasn't cocked back. And I knew, you know, now I got to find a second magazine. I start looking for it. I realized it's not even loaded. At that point, I started to worry. And I heard a yell. I said, I heard him yell, oh, my God. And I realized, okay, he must be hit.
Now, was he visible to you, or had you retreated for cover back in the back room at this point?
I retreated for cover as I'm firing through the hallway into the bedroom.
Okay.
And he never followed, but I was waiting for him with my one or two rounds left for him to come in.
Now, this is a Springfield XD9, and let's remind everybody out there, what do we got here? 17, 18, 19, plus one?
Right. I had, I think, 15 or 16. I didn't have one. About 15 or 16. And I could have swore I was almost out.
Now, and, you heard him say, oh, my God. And what did you do from that point?
Well, basically, what I did, I stood there and I watched her run off in through the living room towards the voice, because I guess she had recognized the voice. And at that point, I thought, okay, she's gonna be dead. So I started running after her, following. And as I enter the hallway, I see her crouching down. I turn on the light and I see her crouching down his head, and he's laying down prone position, face down, with the gun under him. And at that point, it looks like he's trying to maybe fire at her or reload or something like that. I go up to him with the last round. I start yelling, drop the gun. This is all on the 911 tape because on the other hand, I had the phone. Put down the phone. She grabs his hand. At that point, she says, no, don't shoot, don't kill him, don't shoot him, please.
Now, he's laying face down on your living room floor, am I correct?
Right at the hallway entrance, which is where I was standing when it all began.
Let me interrupt you.
25 feet.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. This is great conversation, and I'd like to invite callers to call in if we can get somebody. We've got callers all over. We've got listeners all over the nation. If we can get somebody in here at 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920, or 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665, we'll try to squeeze your call in here. Marco, I'm sorry for that interruption, but now let's take this back. He's laying face down on the floor. She's cradling him. He's laying on your floor bleeding, and at the same time, he's looking to reload because he wants to kill you dead.
Right. Basically, what he was saying is he kept saying, kill me, kill me, kill me. And, you know, I see his left hand come out of from under him and reach for another magazine. She grabs that hand. He bites her when she's grabbing his hand. And at that time, I was able to see the gun and put my hand on it and start to wrestle away from him.
Okay, folks, real quick, we apologize. Marco, you got to keep the language down here. I know it was a very stressful situation to you, but we are live on the radio.
Yeah,
okay.
Apologize.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Basically, we're able to take the gun away from him. At that time, I grabbed his gun. I noticed it had some damage on it. I place it on the table. I go towards the front door to unlock the door. To, you know, PD is already en route. Fire is already en route. I try to open the front door, and it's jammed. It won't open. And I didn't understand why. Until I went out the back door, I noticed that the front door was all shot up. Both locks had a bullet hole through them, which was him trying to get into me like a madman.
He was pulling the movie routine, trying to shoot the locks out, thinking the door was going to kick open like it was a Hollywood picture.
Yeah, he shot both of them, but it didn't open, thank God, because if it had opened, I might not have had that extra split second to make it to the hallway. We could have all three been dead.
Okay, so at this point, PD's on the way, EMTs are on the way. I want to let everybody know that you are a trained EMT, and you were an EMT where you were living, and here you are having to attempt to take a life rather than save a life, which had to be a shock to you, no question about it. In addition to that, okay, now this gentleman is on the floor. The cops show up. She's cradling him. I'm sure it's a nightmare. I remember you telling me, you know, the house was black. We could get into a lot of psychology here, but I don't want to do that as I'm not the expert. But I do want to point out, can you tell the listeners, because we hear a lot about this, the tunnel vision, the sound. Okay, obviously you're not wearing any ear or eye protection. Under the stressful situation, what do you remember?
Well, honestly, I mean, that sound, I did not hear any sound. I mean, it was like as if I couldn't hear anything. I mean, I could, until after the event is when I started to realize my ears were muffled. I couldn't hear anything. But when it first happened, it was just like as if something took over my body. Like I wasn't even myself. It was like a robot took over and just focused on the task at hand. Stopping this bull charging towards me was my objective, and it just something took over, and I just had to handle it. I mean, it wasn't even time to even think should I or should I not. It was just you have to, and I mean, all I saw was just flashes. Before you know it, it was all over within a few seconds from the first jumping out of bed until it was over. I would say less than 30 seconds the whole event.
Now you were unharmed. That physically.
I was completely unharmed by a miracle.
Now, how many rounds did you put into him to stop his attack against you?
Well, I found out that he had been shot 6 times. Five times, and one was a graze on his wrist that had actually knocked a magazine out of his weapon, which I come to find out later. He was shot twice in the abdomen. He was shot in the left femur, which was his left leg, which was actually the miracle shot because that's what took him down. He ran right through the one that got he ran right through both of them in his abdomen. He had got shot through the neck, ran right through that one. He got shot in the shoulder. He got shot in the groin. And nothing stopped him until that last round struck his leg bone, which knocked
him down. Put
back.
Him down. You know, that's topic for another show and another program for sure, because we always hear, you know, we could get into the caliber debate all day long. Now, after this occurred, when the police showed up, what happened? What were you told? And how did you handle the situation after the shooting?
Well, I grabbed his weapon, I grabbed my weapon, I put them both in the kitchen, opened the door, I waved down the police, this is the third floor apartment. I waved them down, they came in, they cleared the house, they told her to stand outside, and the whole time they didn't treat me like a criminal whatsoever. I mean, you could see the glass broken, you could see exactly what happened. And, you know, they were even patting me on the back like, you know, you saved her, you did a good job. the whole time, and they were really cool with me.
Now, when did you find out? Probably right there on the spot, but you know, it's the law. It doesn't have to make sense. It's the law.
Right.
When did you find out that there would be no charges filed against you, and when did you find out that, was the district attorney involved at all?
Well, no, the whole time, basically, they just treat me like a victim of a crime. I never had to, there was never possibly any charges against me just because it was so clear and concise what happened. Just looking on the scene that he broke through the window, he was in my living room, there was bullet holes everywhere, there were casings outside from where he fired. The detective just put it together real quick, and they just straight told me, look, you're a victim here. There was nothing, I wasn't even, really, to tell the truth, I wasn't worried whatsoever. Just because watching the news, reading up about things, I realized that, someone breaks into your house to kill you. You have the right to defend yourself.
Yeah, and you lived in a gun-friendly state. I'll just simply say that
thank
you lived
God.
In Florida. Yeah, thank God for that. And, things could have been a little bit different if you lived somewhere
right.
else. But having said that, to everybody listening out there, Marco was not charged. In fact, there was no discussion of any charges against him. And we will simply say that the perpetrator, the alleged criminal in this case, is still awaiting trial. And this happened when, Marco?
This was in last year in January.
January of 2008.
Yeah.
And the alleged criminal is still awaiting trial,
folks. On house arrest.
On house arrest.
Having barbecues with his friends on the internet, watching satellite TV.
And you have since left the area and have relocated, good for you, and
right.
put that part of your life behind you. My hat's off to you. I can't imagine what you went through that night and what kind of fear. And, I like to think that I prepare for that, and I know that many, many thousands of our listeners prepare for that as well. And fortunately, the odds are against something like that happening. But when it does happen, it proves to everybody the combat mindset and the preparation that is required to take care of the situation at hand. Very quickly, before we cut to a break, Marco, you have since gone from the XD9 to what?
Well, now I have a SIG 40 caliber, just because of the amount of rounds it holds, and it's a slightly larger caliber. Aside from my home protection, I have a 12-gauge Mossberg, which is fully loaded,
okay.
ready for the next one.
Okay. Well, let's hope to God that there is no next one. Marco,
yeah.
thank you so much for joining us on Armed American Radio tonight, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Everybody stick around after the break. We'll be back with Mr. Jim Butler, who's got another harrowing tale of fear here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
To ask yourself one question, do I feel lucky?
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center. It'll clear out overnight. It'll be brisk and chilly, though, down to 45. Plenty of sunshine during the day Monday, but on the cool side with the high only about 70. Clear and chilly again Monday night, low 45. Sunshine, breezy, and warming up a little on Tuesday, high 74. Turning cloudy at Wednesday, maybe some afternoon rain, high 74. Shower, thunderstorm around Thursday, mainly cloudy, high 72. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
When severe weather threatens your commute, 920 WGKA is the only Atlanta radio station equipped to get you where you need to go.
41 minutes from Wade Green to the perimeter, 50 to downtown, 400s an hour, 3.
Our digital state-of-the-art traffic command center is online when traffic helicopters cannot get off the ground.
We have had copious reports of trees down on power lines knocking out power or traffic signals.
920 WGKA, fast, first, and accurate.
Don't miss the Atlanta Community Breakfast, Wednesday, May 20th at Fox Sports Grill, Atlantic Station. This month's speaker is leadership development expert Christina Parker, senior vice president of a national company, founder and CEO of a leading professional development organization, and an owner of a thriving franchise business. Christina believes that the key to success in business and in life is the conscious development of and investment in others. Register online at atlantacommunitybreakfast.com. That's Wednesday, May 20th at Fox Sports Grill, Atlantic Station.
Hi, this is Sadie Fields. On behalf of the Georgia Christian Alliance and WGKA, I'd like to personally invite you to an exciting event May 19th at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. It's called Obama, the First 100 Days. Featured are WGKA personalities Bill Bennett, Dennis Prager, and Hugh Hewitt. Tickets are on sale now. Just go to 920WGKA.com and look for the banner to buy tickets online. Don't miss this dynamic meeting of the minds right here in Atlanta.
Vigilant, uncompromising, standing up for what's right. The future of America is on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Welcome back, everybody, to Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. If you'd like to participate on our show tonight, please reach out to us at 888-920-2665 or 770-226-0920. 888-920-2665 or 770-226-0920. These automatic weapons that go right through are coming from the United States. Folks, that was Greta Van Susteren. Greta Van Susteren, who definitely needs to do a fact check before she goes on the record. And that was taken from America's First Freedom from the NRA magazine this month. That is really something. I didn't know that until I read that. Doesn't surprise me, doesn't shock me, shouldn't shock you either, but we need to be on our toes. Folks, we are coming back to you now with another very difficult story that appeared in my column in Concealed Carry magazine back in January. I guess it was the November-December issue of 08. And we welcome to the program tonight Mr. Jim Butler. Jim Butler joins us this evening. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, my friend. And I want to start with you, as I did with Marco. You and I have spoken, obviously, at great length, and I've written your story and went over it a number of times and gave you final edit on it. And your story was, yet again, another difficult one to write. And I've written a few of these. And this one was very difficult to write as well. Jim, start from the beginning. I want to go back to the night that you were in California and set the listeners up with how you found out this was all happening in your life.
Well, I was at a business trip in California, and I got a call probably at about 2 o'clock in the morning there from my wife, and she had just gone through the experience of the first time that she had caught identified this man as peeking in the windows, and she called the sheriff's department. They ran him off. They actually came and responded, and he had run off and then showed up again after the first deputy left. They chased him off, and then it ended up in a situation where he barricaded himself into his trailer, and they brought out the SWAT teams and police negotiators, and after several hours, negotiated him out of his place.
Okay, so here you were on business, you get this call from your wife, and all of this happens while you're out of town. You must have been petrified.
I was trying to get on a plane as quickly as I could.
How fast were you able to get out of there and get back home?
I couldn't till the next day.
That must have driven you nuts. I don't know how you got any sleep whatsoever. You must have been scared to death for your wife.
Absolutely no sleep at all.
Okay, you got home when?
The following day. I don't recall what day the week that was, but this was in February of 2003.
Okay, so you got home and found that your wife was safe. You found out what had happened. Mm-hmm. Now, this gentleman barricaded himself in I guess he lived in a trailer down the road from you.
Correct. He lived on his sister's property.
He was arrested. Was he charged?
He was charged with resisting, trespassing, the stalking, whatever else. He was taken to a hospital, given a mental evaluation, where a psychiatrist deemed him of no harm to himself or the public, and then released.
And he was released. Okay. After his release, I know this story gets pretty harrowing. What started to happen? And I want some detail here. I want the listeners to hear, because I'm sure there are people out there who find themselves in situations like this, because we've got the development here of a stalking situation.
Absolutely. First, we went and talked to all the authorities that we could to see what we should do. I had my wife and go and get a permanent order of protection, full order of protection against him, so that he could stay, that he was ordered to stay away from her, from the house, anywhere that she might be. it really was a worthless piece of paper. It didn't do any good, because he just almost immediately, we would see him coming around. He would drive past. He would call her at work. I would catch him at night. I would catch him walking down the street in front of our house, and it just was just a nightmare. I didn't really know what to do. Each time we would call the sheriff's department, it would take some time for them to respond. And basically, all they did was take a report and tell us, give us a call if he shows back up.
Okay, now I think it's important that the listeners know a little bit about your property. Let's set up a little bit about where you live. Now, you're on 60 acres?
40 acres.
40 acres, okay. And he was, now your home does not sit back in that 40 acres. Your home sits how far from the road?
Oh, it's 50 feet off. The house, the front door is 50 feet off the road.
Okay, and I'm going to assume that the driveway is about that distance?
Correct.
Okay. He lived about how far down from you?
Approximately a half a mile.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, he was living on his sister's property in a trailer, correct?
Correct.
No electricity?
No, he lived a kind of a hermit's existence. It didn't have any electricity, no running water. I'm assuming that he bathed and whatever else at his sister's house.
Okay, and you got hooked up with him how? You and your wife felt sorry for him, so you let him do some odd jobs around the place?
Well, yeah, he, because of the existence, and we just, you know, we were charitable people at the time, felt sorry for him, offered him a helping hand, wanted to see if he wanted to cut the grass. I'm busy with business all the time, so I'm not always there. Could he cut the grass? Could he feed the horses while we're gone? Things like that. And I didn't really think there was any problem. I did find out somewhat later that my wife said, you know, she had seen him before and knew that he had been doing. She just didn't tell me at first.
Okay, so let's go forward now from the time of the protection order. It's not working. We all know it's a worthless piece of paper. It's like a gun control law. Criminals continue to carry guns. They don't care about the law, and a piece of paper isn't going to stop somebody away. So you're seeing, or isn't going to keep somebody away. So you're seeing this individual, and your wife is seeing him. He's coming up on the property. How much time is going by now? Let's go month by month. A month goes by. What's happening now?
I see him probably three times a week. Each time that we call the sheriff's department, you know, we tell him that he's in violation, he's been around there. They never do seem to apprehend him, and I'm just at my wit's end about this. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm trying not to. I'm not necessarily a gentle person. I could have maybe physically taken care of it or tried to prevent it there, but I'm trying to allow the law to do what it's supposed to do. But I'm just not getting any help.
Now, the law's not doing what they're supposed to do in your eyes anyway. I guess, you know, again, that's open for debate. We'd have to have them on and talk with them, and we don't have that luxury. However, this continues now into the summer. I want to remind everybody that this began in February.
Correct.
And this continues. This harassment now continues. What type of harassment was there? Was it escalating?
It was escalating. There would be, I'm not certain that it was him all the time. I think it was some relatives or maybe a combination of the both. But late at night, they would drive by and revving up motors, honking horns, actually a few times popping a gun off as they would drive past the house. Just numerous occasions like that.
Which had to be absolutely frightening. Now, you are a gun owner. You are an avid gun owner.
Correct.
And you have a small range set up, I understand, on your property. So I'm going to assume, well, I'm not going to assume because I've spoken to you about this before, but you and your wife, I think, escalated your training, correct?
Correct. My wife at that point had never fired a weapon in her life. So I knew there was time to start training her. She just didn't have the interest. We weren't a concealed carry state at that time. My interest revolved mostly around hunting, some target shooting. But she, like I said, she had never fired a weapon, so it was time to teach her gun safety first and everything that entails, and then we went to the range and started shooting.
Okay, and that range was on your property, or did you take her somewhere else?
No, it was on my property.
It was on your property. How much time were you spending with her now?
Probably twice a week.
Twice a week, okay. And again, I'm not going to make an assumption here because we've spoken, but obviously that gunfire was also meant as a warning, was it not?
I would assume it would have been a deterrent. I mean, you have to know, from a half a mile, you can certainly hear that.
Is that an uncommon sound out there where you live? 40 acres is a lot of property.
Well, it's not uncommon to hear gunfire, but I mean, you hear mostly what you hear are... It's a hunting situation.
Okay.
When now, you're firing 100 or 200 rounds, that's certainly much different.
Okay, and you were practicing consistently and regularly. What other steps were you and your wife taking to protect yourself? Obviously, you've got somebody who's harassing you, whose family is now involved, you think, and the situation is now escalating. What's happening now? What other precautions are you and your wife now taking?
At that time?
At that time, right, about the summertime. As you saw this escalate, anyway.
Well, basically, she had become somewhat of a hostage in the house. She wasn't, when she would go to work, I would just have to escort her there. If she had stayed at home, she had to keep the doors locked, the windows closed. Even in the summer, she just, you know, was, she just felt like she was a prisoner in her own home. Of course, I had to provide for us. I had to work every day. I talked to other law enforcement officers in the local police department rather than the sheriff's department, asked them to try to help me. You know, I'm at my wit's end, and I think this is going in a bad place. I don't need that to happen. And could they help try to find this guy, to, you know, help the sheriff's department apprehend him, do something, you know? And these are guys that some of the local cops that I ride motorcycles with.
So you knew these folks, and what were they telling you?
The sheriff's department?
The sheriff's department.
That he was elusive, that they couldn't find him.
Yet you saw him every day.
I would see him at least twice a day. I drove, had to drive past his place to get to work. And at one point, and it may sound funny, but it really wasn't a joke, that if you can't find him, why don't you just stick around my house? He's going to show up.
And, of course, they always have a reason not to do that. Jim, we're getting ready to go to a break here, so stick with us through the break. We're going to get to the meat of the story here in just a few minutes, everybody. Thanks for sticking around with us. We'll be right back on WGKA Intelligent Talk 920 from Atlanta momentarily.
This here is our good luck charm.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-410-2703. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-410-2703. That's 1-800-410-2703. 1-800-410-2703.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
On May 15th, the phenomenon continues.
This is the first sign.
Tom Hanks and director Ron Howard have topped the Da Vinci Code in every way imaginable. Movies don't get more exciting than this. Angels and Demons, PG-13.
America, you're looking good. Handsome, free, and tall. Close-shave America. Close-shave Barbasol. Close-shave Barbasol.
You thought 2008 was a wild ride. Just wait till you get a load of the Encore. No one covers your world with more insight and authority. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
The following segment is brought to you by Big Woods Goods Extreme Hunting and Shooting, located at 2228 Holly Springs Parkway in Holly Springs, Georgia, up on the second floor. Big Woods Goods has a full supply of Taurus Judges, all models, ultralight and magnums, ammo by the case, 223-308-40-545x39, all sitting in there, folks. A full supply of AK-47s, AR-15s by Colt, Smith & Wesson, Bushmaster, and DPMS, as well as Glocks, the 17, 19, 22, and 23, all in stock. No shortages of shooting supplies at Big Woods Goods, everybody. Visit my favorite gun shop in Holly Springs or online at bigwoodsgoods.com. I shop there and so should you. Big Woods Goods, extreme hunting and shooting. You know, folks, we're listening to some crazy stories this evening. And I want to read another quote from our old pal Thomas Jefferson before we get started. A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercise, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be your constant companion of your walks. That's great stuff. We're back, everybody, with Mr. Jim Butler. Jim, when we left off for the break, you were telling us that the cops really weren't much of a help to you. The harassment was continuing. This is now escalating. Let's go from the summer through into the fall. What's now happening as your frustration and your fear is mounting?
Well, the harassment, the stalking and catching him around the house again just continues. And, you know, we're like I said earlier, we're at our wits' end. We don't know what to do. And then on Christmas Eve, we were at my parents' house. We left there to come home, and we were in separate vehicles. She was just a minute or two ahead of me. And then I get a call on my cell phone as I'm driving home. She saw a flashlight inside the house. She could see a light flashing on the walls of the house as she drove up. Not advisable, but she came around the back of the house at the same time that he was leaving the house, and there was a physical confrontation there.
Now, when you say physical confrontation, did he attack her when he was leaving? Was he coming out of your home?
He was coming out of the home.
She caught him coming out of your home. Mm-hmm. Did she attack him? Did he attack her? How did that transpire?
She attacked him.
She attacked him. Tell us a little bit about that real quick.
There was just, I didn't see it. There was a brief wrestling match, and of course he overpowered her, twisted her leg, and then got up and ran off. She got to her cell phone and called me, and I was just seconds away, and I couldn't catch him.
Now, what happened from a legal standpoint? Obviously, you called the sheriff's department again.
I went. Yes, that night we called, and they came out again, took a report, took some fingerprints, and you know, asked a lot of questions, take a report. They know exactly where he's at, but I don't think that they went up there.
Now, you had told me when we were penning the column together that you had noticed some things in the house missing. Give us a little bit about that.
It was kind of a running joke with my wife and I. When I would come home in the evenings after work, I take all my belongings out of my pockets and I put my change in a jar, as a lot of people do. And I would jokingly say, I guess that money just evaporates, huh? And she said, I'm not taking that money. I said, you know, I don't really care. I'm just commenting that, you know, it never fills up. I put several, you know, a few dollars every day, and it never seems to fill up. I'm not taking that money, she'd say.
So he was getting in the house, and you know it for a fact.
I do it now, yeah.
You do now. Let's go to a cold day in February when it all came to an end.
Okay.
Start from early in that evening and tell the listeners what transpired.
Well, again, the wife and I were coming home. We came in separate vehicles. She was a bit ahead of me, maybe an hour or so ahead of me. I came home, and I commented, and when I got home, there's a bunch of people up there at his sister's house. They're all outside and seem to be partying, standing around. And it's a very cold evening, which surprised me that the people would be outside like that. So I'm a little unsettled about that. So we opened the garage door, and we stayed inside the garage door trying to watch to make sure, see if we could hear anything, if we heard vehicles coming or could see anybody outside. We stayed in there for probably about an hour in It's like I said, it's a very cold evening. It's that I don't think they're going to do anything. It's late. It's maybe, 10, 11 o'clock. And it was about 10 o'clock. So we come inside. My wife gets on the computer, and I go to bed. And I lay down. I'm asleep for about an hour. And then she comes in. She just gets into bed. And
take your time.
And then he kicks the door in. We had converted our family room into the master bedroom because we had just bought a huge sleigh bed, and it wouldn't fit in the other room. So the patio door is just a few feet away from the end of the bed. He kicks the door, steps over the end of the bed while I'm still asleep, and shoots me in the neck with a handgun. Fortunately, it was a grazing wound, ran about 2 or 3 inches through my neck, nearly touching the artery, but it didn't really cause any serious damage. I'm asleep at that point. Then I don't know exactly when I woke, but when I woke up, he shot me in the chest with a rifle, 22 caliber rifle. And then I'm going for my weapon. At the same time, my wife rolls out of the bed, and she goes after him and grabs the rifle, the end of the barrel of the rifle, and pulls it away from me so I don't get shot anymore. And she takes a round through the palm of her hand, and another one in her wrist, and came out her elbow.
Now, you were going for your weapon at the time. You've been hit by two rounds.
Correct.
While you were sleeping at approximately 11:30 in that time frame.
About 11, correct.
You now see your wife in a fight for both of your lives from a dead sleep. You find your weapon, and what happens?
She's still, even after being shot, she won't release the gun. She's still wrestling with him over the rifle. And I'm yelling as loud as I can so that I can get them to separate. I don't know why she wouldn't let go. So I fire four rounds above them into the wall to try to get some separation from them.
After they separate, you turn the gun on him?
Yes, I did.
And you fired how many times?
I emptied the magazine.
And what kind of gun was it that you were shooting?
Model 21 Glock.
Model 21 Glock. You emptied the magazine. He hit the floor at the foot of your bed at that point, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, you and your wife, you're both wounded, run out to the, I guess it was the kitchen?
After I shot him, I yelled for her to get out of there, call 911, that I've been shot. I didn't realize, it's so confusing when that happens. You don't, and a lot of it I had to piece together afterwards.
Okay, now you've got the police on the way, and I remember you telling me that you refused to disarm yourself.
Oh, I wasn't about to let go of my weapon, no.
Okay, now, had you checked on him again to find out what his state was? Did you know he had passed away?
From one end of the house, back and forth, to make certain that he was still down.
Like a bad movie, huh?
Right. You don't know whether they're going to jump up or not.
Police come. They take control of the situation. You eventually disarm when you're satisfied that you and your wife are safe.
Correct.
And his wife or his sister comes running up.
Tried to gain access to the house, and the sheriff's deputies arrested her right there.
Okay.
Had to physically take her in.
Jim, that is unbelievable. Thank God you're safe. Thank God your wife is safe. You are still living in the same home, correct? Left for how long prior to going back in?
We were out of the house for about a month.
Okay.
I stayed with my brother.
All right, and now you're back. And is there any harassment from his family at this point since the events of that evening?
There was for about 6 months or so.
Nothing at this point?
It's since ceased.
Congratulations to you, my friend. Congratulations for having the mental capacity, the preparedness, and so forth. Jim, we're going to have to go. We'll talk with you later. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight to Armed American Radio. My name is Mark Walters. I'm your host. You can visit us at usconcealedcarry.com, usconcealedcarry.com. Our website is now up, armedamericanradio.org, armedamericanradio.org. We've got a lot of comments. You can pick up the podcast there, and you can catch me on my website at theamericangunfighter.com. We'll see you next week, everybody, with Mr. Bill Akins. Thanks for joining us on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
920 a.m. WGKA. Atlanta, a service of Salem Communications.